Trust that you've had a great week and thankful that you've come here to worship the Lord Jesus Christ with us this morning. I want to welcome our guest and again just want to praise God with Brother Greg. After the service, just in case I forget, y'all know how I can forget things in the order of service or whatnot. But please, if I forget, I've already asked Brother Greg if he would come to the front of the church at the close, at the end of the service, after we close the service out in prayer, for you folks to come by and greet Greg and tell him how much you appreciate him. You'll be praying for him and just congratulate him in the Lord for his step of obedience. And there'll be many, many more steps. We take those steps every day as believers, don't we? As the Lord teaches us and deals with us, that is our goal in life, is to mature in Christ. I do want to just mention a couple things here. This past week has been really tremendous. It's been busy, very busy. You know, the Fisher family has been here with us. Brother Mike preached for us last Sunday, and he'll be preaching tonight as well. And he's been preaching to the teenagers, spending time with them. Had a great activity yesterday. How many of you teenagers, if you're honest, I'm just kind of want to make some comparison here. How many of you teenagers are feeling a little sore today? Any of the teenagers? All right, we got a couple honest ones here. I don't feel so bad because I am really sore. And I'm kind of thankful that water was cold a minute ago, because I hear cold water is good for sore muscles. I don't know if that's true or not. It had something to do with the swelling, but I feel like there's a lot of swelling, okay? And not only that, but we had some leaks today. If any of you were wondering downstairs before the service, you notice in our children's wing on our new carpet, hopefully it's not too bad, but there was a leak from the baptistry this morning, and it wasn't so bad that we couldn't catch it with a trash can. So Brother Dan, we made the decision, let's go with it, and I'm glad we did. And I thought the leaks were over until I got inside the baptistry, and then I realized that my overall bibs had a leak. I think it had to do with something with pride, because I'm thinking Brother Greg's gonna freeze, but I'm protected. Well, I got in there and realized I wasn't protected. Amen. What I would have done to have a hair dryer back there, but I just put that towel to use with my hand, and buddy, we made some progress. So I was thankful for that. But you never can tell. Amen. Be ready for anything, always. And it's been a good morning. And thank God for that. But Brother Mike will be back tonight. I'll give you some more details on that. I don't want to give away looking forward to what he's doing tonight, a subject that he's going to be preaching on. I've asked him about this subject, and I feel like he would definitely be more qualified than myself due to the context of his ministry, the things he sees and deals with. So I'll give you more details about that before we leave this morning. But if you would go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the book of Daniel, the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel will be in chapter 12. And whether you believe this or not, we are going to try to finish up the book of Daniel this morning. And in our series on living godly in an ungodly world. And the book of Daniel has been a great help to me personally, studying through it and preaching it. I hope it's been a help to you. I hope that as we have meditated upon David's character and the prophecies that he speaks of, that we have been changed internally and eternally in our perspective on life and how we serve the Lord. This morning's message is entitled this, The Final Discussion of Daniel and the Angels. The Final Discussion of Daniel and the angels. You'll find your place there in chapter 12. We'll pick up where we left off. We preached on chapter 4. You'll remember this is the fourth and final vision that Daniel has received. Okay, the fourth and final vision that he's received through the book of Daniel. And I want us to see here there and pick up in verse 5, please. Daniel chapter 12, verse 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the brink of the river and the other on that side of the bank of the river. He's talking about the angels that he's seeing here. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, Daniel says, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, the angel said unto Daniel, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth, and cometh to the 1,335 days. And the last verse of the book of Daniel, verse 13. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful this morning for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world. And mighty God, we come to you this morning asking you to help us to understand your word. And not only to understand it, Lord, but I pray that as we understand, we'll allow it to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, we want you to have full control. Would you do that, Lord? We need it. We must have you. And so I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, we see here this final discussion of Daniel and the angels. Now, because of some of these things are repetitive, I'm not going to spend as much time on them. We've gone over the great tribulation, the time, times and a half. We've discussed some of those things. I will briefly mention them, but I do want to move forward into what I believe the Lord is leading me to emphasize this morning in the challenge that was given to Daniel. Now, since August 21st, 2016 is when I preached the first message out of Daniel. Daniel chapter 1 is an introductory message. I've preached a little over 40 messages in this book. So right around 20 months, we've been preaching through Daniel off and on. We've been in other books and other subjects and get between guest speakers and different things of that nature. We're now getting to the last message. But you'll remember, as a brief review, we've seen Daniel interpret a couple dreams through the first part. Then he started getting into the four visions. And so we're now at the end of his life. This man has been under, at least that we know of for sure, there's speculation of others, of course, and rightly so, but at least we know for sure, four pagan kings that Daniel has served under. That's very important to realize and to understand his character. And so Daniel brings us to this point where he is at the end of his life, and he's got some questions he's going to ask, and then he's going to get a response, and that response is what will close this book that I think will be very helpful to all of us. Number one, I want us to look here at Daniel's observation of the angels. Go back there in verse number 5, and we'll read through verse 7. But before we begin here, I believe one of the things that we need to take from this message this morning is how important it is for God's people to finish strongly, to finish strong for the Lord, to continue even through difficult times, dark times, weak times, whatever the case may be, and this Christian life that God has blessed us with, to continue it. And that's what I believe Daniel is going to be challenged with. You know, according to Professor Howard Hendricks of Dallas Theological Seminary, he speculates that there are, through his research, there are roughly 100 or so leaders mentioned in the Bible. And out of those 100, 2/3 of whom did not finish well. Did not finish well. Daniel is the exception here. He did finish well. He did not, it's not because he was perfect. He had his weaknesses, and we'll see some of that even this morning. But the fact of the matter is, he did finish well, and that is God's desire for each of us to do. I've heard it said like this, and I believe there's a lot of truth to it. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. A lot of us had some rough starts. A lot of us have had some rough restarts. But you know what? Well, really when it's going to come down to it, when we take our last breath, I think what our emphasis should be, my friends, is how we finish. How we close out this life that God has blessed us with. Daniel's observation of the angels, verses 5 through 7, we see, first of all, he looked and he beheld. And there were stood other two. So let me give you the scene here. He's at the brink of the river here. And he has this vision. He's got one angel that was speaking to him that was, from what we understand in the context, was hovering over the river, was over the river. And then we had two angels that were on the banks of the river, one on one side, one on the other. And there was this conversation going on with Daniel. And so he is looking here and he sees that these angels, number one, he notices that they have some curiosity. Angels, you know, angels are not omniscient. They're not all-knowing. Angels are limited. They are limited, and they are powerful beings, but they are nevertheless limited. That's why we know Satan is limited. Yes, he's an angelic being, but he is limited, and even good angels are limited. But we see here that there is a curiosity here. And also that's also known is some angels know more than others. I thought that was interesting. This one angel hovering over the water, whom I believe, in my opinion, that it's Gabriel. The context from him speaking in other passages earlier. But Gabriel speaking. But then I see that these other angels are not at the same rank, if you will. They don't really know what's going on with all the details of the Great Tribulation. They don't understand how it's all going to end. And so these angels are inquiring to the angel that's hovering over the water. And basically, let me paraphrase and say, hey, when they're asking, when is all this going to take place? And could you tell us that? They were curious. The angels were looking into this. You know, I find out how the angels are curious. We also know in the Word of God, just as a side note, we read over there, you don't have to turn there, but we read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, says this, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Get this. Which things the angels desire to look into. They don't quite understand this whole salvation thing completely like you and I do. We've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. We know what has been purchased from a sinful condition. And they look into that out of curiosity. And they're also limited in some of their things of future prophecies here. The prophecies that the angel is speaking of. But to move along quickly here, we see there's a curiosity, and he asked this question. When is it going to be the end of these wonders? What is this wonders? Look there in your, it's there in your, Bible. Look at that verse there. He asked, okay, and there in verse number, as we read it in verse number, 6, he says, and one said man of clothing linen, which was upon the waters of there, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? Well, what is the wonders there? The wonders are, I believe, the wonders that the Antichrist will do. The things that he will fulfill, the great deception that he will bring, the great miracle acts that he will indeed produce. And how long will that go on is their question. How long will this oppression go? Because he's going to bring great oppression. Nothing like you and I have ever, ever, ever experienced. And I hope to God that we never do. But they indeed were going through that. And these angels even saw this and were moved themselves. That's how serious this thing is. When an angel gets curious about this type of thing and doesn't quite understand and is asking for clarification, hey, we need to really take note. Now, he's going to ask when, but Daniel's going to ask more of a what. But what was the answer from whom I believe Gabriel? What was Gabriel's answer? Well, we find the answer there in verse number 7. And he says, I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters. There's that verse, upon the waters of the river. When he held up his right hand. Now, what's going on here? And he's going to say, and he held up his left hand unto heaven. And he says, I swear by him that liveth forever that it shall be for a time, times and a half. So he's given the timeline that we know of already because of the book of Daniel, right? We've been reading about the tribulation time, seven years, 3.5 on each side, time, times and a half. That's 3.5 years. And he said, that's the timeline it's going to be. And one of the things that's interesting about this is notice what this angel does. He lifts up his hand. And then he lifts up his other hand unto heaven and swears by the one that lives forever. That's Jesus Christ. Lifts up his hand unto heaven and says, I'm telling you, as sure as Jesus Christ lives for all eternity, I'm here to tell you that it will be time, times and a half, 7 years of tribulation. And that's what will go on. In that second half. And you notice we do the same thing here, something similar, don't we, in courtrooms? We give an oath. We swear. And a lot of times they'll have you put your hand on the Bible and they'll tell you to raise your right hand and you'll say, I swear to basically tell the truth and nothing but the truth. And you will give that oath. Well, that's the picture here. This angel is raising his hands to this other angel and said, let me have to tell you how real and serious this is. And he goes forth and gives the time. And he goes on to tell not only the time, but notice what he says else will take place. He says, and wind, and the second part of verse 7, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter, note this now, the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. So he gives two aspects here, does he not? The first aspect he gives is that he gives the timeline. But then he says something else is going to happen. He said the holy people. Who are the holy people? That's the nation of Israel. That's the Jewish people. They, till they be brought. Now this is something that we must understand in context how important it is. Do you understand the purpose of the tribulation? One of the main purposes of the tribulation here, church, is seen crystal clear. If you've never gotten it before, get this. It is to break the people of Israel. It is to break the will of the Jewish people. God called them thousands of years ago to be His chosen people. And they have rebelled and rebelled and rebelled. And now God brings them into this great tribulation and He is going to do everything. He's going to let angel and his demons completely loose, the Antichrist, until God's people are completely broken. He's going to scatter them. Now, that word could also mean shatter. He's gonna take away the power of them. And when they get to that point where they realize, I don't have any more power, that's where I believe Christ will come. Can I tell you something, church? God wants to do the same thing in our lives. He wants us to bring us to the end of ourselves. He wants to show us that we can't do this thing called the Christian life. We can't go on doing our own thing. We need God and we need to honor Him. And anyway, this judgment comes, and that is the main theme of the book of Daniel. In fact, that's what Daniel means, as we understand. God is judge. He's going to judge His people. But it's for a purpose. Is to bring them to Himself. God never judges His people because He takes pleasure in it. God judges His people because He loves them and wants to bring them back. Now, there would be something mad wrong if I just walked in on a day and on my way home, I thought, man, I don't know if Thomas has done anything bad, but I'm looking forward to getting home and whipping his behind. That'd be weird, wouldn't it? If you're doing that, please get counseling, okay? No, it's not something I look forward to. Now, if I walk in and Thomas has pulled out his sister's hair and said some bad things to his mommy, yes. Then there's going to have to be some precautions there, and we're going to take care of business. But the fact of the matter is, God does not take pleasure in judging His people. The only time He judges His people is to bring us back to Himself. Never forget that. We see that judgment was there, and He was going to break them. And then we see the second part, and this is where the second part of our message that I'm going to try to move quickly, okay? We see Daniel's observation of the angels, verses 5 through 7, but verses 8 through 13, we see where Daniel addresses the angel. He's observed these angels talking to each other. Now Daniel's going to hop in this conversation. And listen to what he says beginning there in verse 8. He says, I heard what these angels were talking about. He said, I heard what was being said. I did hear the conversation. I heard the words crystal clear. But Daniel says, I did not understand. You ever been there, friend? You ever been there? You heard truth. You heard truth being spoken to you, and you're saying, I hear you. I just don't understand. I believe we've all been there, if we're honest. That was Daniel. He was at a place where he had understood some things already, but he was wanting to understand more, and we're going to understand, we're going to see how God handles that situation. But nevertheless, we see Daniel's ignorance here. He says, I heard, but I don't understand. You know, there are some things, let's get this, church, this will help us tremendously. Listen up, please, listen up. There are some things that we are only going to understand on the other side of heaven. This side, we may not clearly understand some things going on in our life, why things happen, but I'm telling you, it will all be revealed on the other side. And it'll all make perfect sense as we see what God has been doing in our lives. I believe that because of what Paul said. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, we think about the chapter of love, but I want to tell you, this is a chapter of Paul revealing another truth to us about future things that we don't understand. Listen to what he says in verse 12. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. You know, in old times, you know what they used as a mirror? A polished up piece of metal. Nothing as crystal clear as we have today. But he's saying here, right now we're looking at one of those dull metal pieces. Can't see a real vivid, clear image here. But he says this, church, one day, on the other side, you're going to see everything as it was face to face. He says that. Paul said it. He said that he understood the general truth of the vision. But he understood some general things. But some of the specifics, he said, I don't get. But he says, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. He says, I don't understand. Now this is where Daniel inquires about this conversation. Look what he says. I think we all can agree we've been here too. Oh my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Y'all ever been there? Oh, God, how's this all going to turn out? Oh, God, this thing, I don't understand it. People are dying, and man, the wrath and the judgment that's coming upon the people of Israel. God, can you tell me, how's this thing going to turn out? That was Daniel's cry. That was Daniel's plea. What shall be the end of these things? He didn't say when. He had a good general idea of the when, but he didn't understand all the what's and how's. And friends, that is us many times. But let's see how the angel goes into a counseling session with Daniel. He goes into a counseling session, if you will, and reminds Daniel of some things, and that will take place verses 9 through 13. And I'm going to move quickly so y'all listen quickly, okay? Verse 9, he says, first of all, and in response to Daniel's question, he says, first of all, go thy way, Daniel. Now, wait a minute. Daniel wanted a a response to how everything was going to take place. And you're going to say, go thy way, Daniel. You know, God will do that sometimes, friends. There's some things that you don't quite understand, and you're wanting to know all the answers, but you'll hear a voice from the Holy Spirit say this, move on. Move on. Just keep walking, Daniel. Just keep doing. And I believe, my personal opinion, I believe he's speaking here more in the context of Daniel's mental state. I believe he's speaking of Daniel talking mentally. Daniel was trying to figure these things out in his mind, and it was questioning. And the angel says, the first thing you got to realize, Daniel, is you got to go thy way. You got to keep on keeping on for the Lord. Don't get hung up in these things that you don't understand every aspect of. And that's what he's going to say. His first counseling is here. Move on. You know, that's what we need to do. You know, I'm reminded of this thing of prophecy, even what Daniel knew, he wanted to know more. Have we ever been there in that place? Wouldn't we want to know when the Lord was coming? Wouldn't we want to know this and that? And man, we get so caught up in that. But hey, listen, that's not the way God wants us to go. God has revealed to us what he wants us to know concerning prophecy. And then we are to take that and use that in context in our life, but not let us get so distracted with how it's all going to turn out where we become no good for the Lord's work. I heard it said like this, the knowledge of prophecy is not to exempt us from our daily chores or service for the Lord. Get this. It is to give inspiration and anticipation, but not exemption from perspiration. It's not to exempt us from doing the work that God has called us to do. He goes on to say, listen, you need to move on and not try to get this figured out. But then he goes on to say, now listen, Daniel, I will tell you this. Many people will be purified. Look at there in the second part. He says, after he told him to move on, verse 9, he says, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. It means they're preserved. You don't need to know anything else. In verse 10, concerning that, he says, many shall be purified and made white and tried. And then he's going to give the contrary. There's going to be wicked who will do wickedly and not understand, but the wise shall understand. What's he talking about there? He's talking about those that will receive the gospel. Those that will accept the gospel message, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who will embrace Him. You see, there are some that will do wickedly because they reject it. And my friends, isn't that the case today? I want to share this with you, and I hope you understand my heart in this matter. I believe this, and I believe we all should always feel this way. We should believe there is hope for every individual on this earth. There's hope in Christ. But another thing is, friend, that only the Holy Spirit will help us understand is that we need to also come to the realization that some people just will not do it. Not because God is holding them back and God is keeping them from the truth, but because they desire to continue doing wickedly. And they continue in their wicked path. And God says, look, if that's going to be your direction, you will never understand the gospel. But those that will understand the gospel will simply turn to Christ. They will humble themselves in a broken state, just like we see in the context. The people of Israel came to that broken state saying, Oh God, have mercy on us. And there was a broken state there. And so we see that there's a purifying that's going to go on, though. The people will be tried. There will be persecution. And by the way, a lot of times that's what God will do to help us along. But then we see that he goes on to talk about the temple. He talks about the people that are being purified, the wicked that will not believe and not understand. But then look there in verse 11. And he said that, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away. Now remember, midway through the tribulation, The Jews will be robbed, if you will. Their worship will be taken away in the temple. It will be taken from them. They had that. They thought they had it for long periods. But no, the Antichrist turns on them, takes away their worship, and he installs the worship of himself. And he desecrates the temple. And that's what we see here in Jesus Christ. We don't have the time, but Jesus Christ spoke of in Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. So he says here, he's talking about the desecration of the temple. And he says here, the abomination that maketh desolate set up. Now, I want to bring out a couple of these verses right here for you to think about and meditate on. One, it says here, look at the end of verse 11. It says, there shall be 1,290 days. Now, wait a minute. The angels adding days. It was 1260. All right, times and a half. There's 30 days being added here to this end time prophecy. What's going on? Well, I believe that he's talking about there's going to be a time of judgment, because we're going to see some more days added in here in just a minute. But there are 30 days given here to the prophetic calendar. Now, there is some clues given in Matthew. If you study sometime, Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through 46, which our Sunday school class was in this morning. I didn't get in all of it because I left a little early. But it talks about a time of judgment immediately following the coming of Christ, after he defeats the Antichrist. And it will be determined there who will enter in and be blessed. And I believe that is speaking of that 30 days there, a time of judgment to see who has been found faithful. But then you would think, okay, well, I get the 30 days added. But then he goes on, this angel says a little bit more here. Look at verse 12. He says, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 days. Oh, now he's adding 45 more days. That brings us to a total of an extra 75 days. What is this for? Well, I believe personally that it is a time where Christ will set up his judgment. He will appoint officers and governors around this globe and who will rule during the millennial reign. And he will select them and choose them, and we'll be a part of that process. And he will help, he will organize all of that and set the borders of his kingdom there in Jerusalem. Hey, you know, there's been a lot of argument about the borders in Israel, hadn't there? That'll all be settled when Jesus comes. He will make a definitive line. There will be no arguments. There will be no questions. They will be set in stone by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will put them in place. And I believe indeed that is the extra time that we see here in Scripture that the angel talks about, where he will put those things in place. And he talks about blessed are those that wait during that time. So here they are. These guys have been seeing their children, their husbands, and their wives lose their heads to the Antichrist. It has been total chaos like we've never seen before, never even dreamed of. And these guys are going to get where Jesus comes, and then they're going to have to wait a little longer before that millennial reign begins. And they're going to even wait some more. They've waited up until this point. They're going to wait that extra time, and the Lord is going to bless them for waiting in faithfulness. Listen, this is another message, but listen, God blesses people that wait on him. I heard it said one time. I don't know who said it, but listen, waiting time is never wasted time. God's got some things he's got you waiting on. You trust the Lord and be faithful. That's what that's going to be an encouragement to Daniel too. But we see here, blessed are those that wait. You know, we also have something that's similar to that. We have a promise to be blessed in our waiting period for the coming of the Lord. Just like these tribulation believers, they're going to be blessed for their waiting. Did you know that you and I are going to be blessed for our waiting? What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, I'm glad you asked. In 2 Timothy, it talks about in chapter 4, verse 8, Paul said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not me only, but get this, church, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do you know that right now, I hope that each of us understand the importance of always waiting and looking and anticipating the coming of the Lord in our hearts. And God says, I will bless you for waiting upon me, looking for that blessed hope. I will bless you for that. And you wait for me. And we see that through waiting on the Lord and trusting Him. And then moving along here, we also see blessed are they that wait. But he says here, coming to an end of our passage in verse number 13, he's bringing his counseling session to an end. And he says here, Daniel, go thy way till the end be. Go thy way till the end be. He's saying here, Daniel, sort of similar to what he said earlier. He said, Daniel, these things are going to come to pass, but I want you to know something. Keep on keeping on. Don't give up, Daniel. Don't you give up. As scary as it may be right now, it may seem in your mind, the angel says, Daniel, do not give up. And not only that, but he also, that it's in the context there, he's saying to Daniel, don't give up. Why? Because the best is yet to come. Amen. Hey, listen, the best is yet to come. You think your life is good right now, Christian? My friends, you wait till you get to glory. You wait till we get to glory. And I'm telling you, it will be worth it all. We see here that he says, don't give up. Don't give up. No, we've been given that promise. He says, and Paul told the believers in 2 Timothy in chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. He said, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Does that sound like anywhere we live today? Doesn't it just seem that things are getting worse around us, morally, spiritually, in many ways? You know what Paul told Timothy? He said, yeah, it's going to get worse, but let me tell you something, young man. He said, let me tell you something, and this is what he said. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And I believe that's what that angel is telling Daniel here. Daniel, just continue. You be strong for the Lord. You keep your eyes on Him. We see that he says, don't give up. And then he says here, he says, go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest. Hey, you know what he's talking about there? He's talking about that day when he meets the Lord. And he's going to have rest. It's the day when he's going to die. It's the day that he's going to pass from the earth into eternity. And he's going to have rest. Oh, what a promise. Paul testified of this in 2 Timothy. He said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And that's what this angel is telling Daniel. He's, Daniel, you have kept the faith. You have remained strong. You have remained faithful. And you will have rest with your Lord. And that truth goes to us too, friend. There will be rest. Do you feel battle weary right now? Do you feel like you're tired of fighting this flesh and the devil and the oppositions that come in your life? Are you tired of the disappointments? Are you tired of the things you're facing in life? Daniel was too in many ways. We can relate with Daniel. But let's take the same exhortation that Daniel got. Let's go our way. Let's go the way that God has intended us to go and laid out for us until the end, until we go to rest, so that we too, one day, somebody can stand maybe at this pulpit or some pulpit across this world somewhere. They will stand over a casket. And they will be able to give a testimony of the life that you lived for Christ. My friends, that is what we are seeing. He says you will have rest. And we're coming to a close here. Coming in for a landing. Y'all hold on. Thou shalt rest, he says. But then, he says one last thing here. and stand in thy light at the end of the days. Well, what is that talking about? I believe that's talking about the hope of the resurrection. You see, my friends, he talked about, first of all, his rest, his death. But aren't you glad it doesn't stop at death? Oh, no, my friend, it's only beginning. And he's talking about that resurrection, and he's talking about that resurrection day that I believe for the Old Testament saints and the tribulation saints, I believe that what he's talking about there is that resurrection that will take place at the end of the tribulation, and they will be brought into the millennial reign with Christ, and I believe he's looking forward to that resurrection. Oh, with great anticipation, that blessed hope, that better country. Oh, my friends, are you looking forward to heaven? Are you longing for heaven? Are you homesick this morning? Oh, may God help us to be homesick. Sometimes I believe we get so happy in this world that we could care less if Jesus came back. Oh, I'm not saying that we should ask for death every day. I'm not saying that we should live our lives for Christ in the fullness of the joy. But my friends, I should say this. There should be a longing for home in all of our hearts. A longing. We're pilgrims, the Bible says, my friends. We're passengers. We're just passing through. We're pilgrims. And that's what Daniel was. He was a pilgrim. And oh, he was looking forward to that promise right there. He says, and stand in thy lot in the end of the days. The days of the tribulation, there would be hope there for Daniel. Faithful to the end. I think of a Hebrews 11:16. I'm not going to go into it, but that's the hall of faith. And you remember all those things that those people went through and accomplished. And then it goes to talk about those that are in persecution. And it says here, those in verse 16 of chapter 11, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. You see that? A better country. Angel was saying, Daniel, you're going to a better country. Hebrews 11:35, listen to this. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others, now get this, we talk about those of great faith, but then sometimes we forget about the other part. What about this? Others were tortured. They were tortured for Christ. Tortured. What does the Bible say about them? Not accepting deliverance. There was no deliverance for them from that bodily death. But get this, that they might obtain a better resurrection. A better, that resurrection day. Oh, my friends, we see here that the Lord, in His Word, in the book of Daniel, through this angel Gabriel, I believe, assured him that better days are yet to come. And Daniel, the most important thing you can do right now is to finish well. Finish strongly. I heard one person say it like this, the most important part of a story is the ending. They said no one reads a book to get to the middle. It's not something that they're looking forward to. I also heard it like this, the ending is the context for everything that precedes it. Without a strong ending, the value of our lives is cheapened and the potential of our influence is diminished. Our faithfulness must be for a lifetime. We must finish well. You know, Daniel, that's one thing that stands out to me as I've studied this blessed book. One thing that stands out to me the most is that Daniel was faithful. He wasn't perfect. He had struggles like all of us. But he kept the course. And God's going to bless him for it. I know he is and has. And he blessed him because he wrote the book of Daniel. And here we are today reading about it and impacted by it, that we too can be faithful. Listen, I don't know what you're facing today, friend. But I want to tell you, look right here what this angel is telling this man, Daniel. And I want you to know this truth applies to the New Testament believer. That we too can continue. That we too can wait upon the coming of the Lord. And we too can know that God is faithful. I don't care how dark it is. I don't care how impossible it seems. My dear friend, God is on the throne and He's called us to continue, never, ever give up. Let's pray together. Would you pray with me here in just a minute?